Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
The United States continues to see substantially higher teen birth rates compared to other developed countries, but an updated policy statement by the American Academy of Pediatrics discusses the use of emergency contraception and how it can reduce the risk of unintended pregnancy in adolescents. My guest is Dr. Cora Colette Bruner. She's professor in adolescent medicine section at Seattle Children's Hospital. So, Dr. Bruner, tell us about this updated policy statement about emergency contraception.
Well, thank you so much, Melanie, for having me on your show today. It's always an honor to be back with you. Well, this is an updated policy statement that was originally written in 2005, and what we felt on the committee was that we needed to update it because we needed to use stronger language to support pediatricians or other healthcare providers in discussing the availability of emergency contraception to teenagers. We felt that at this time, many, many teenagers do not know about emergency contraception. There is not enough education that occurs both in the doctor's offices or in the community, and we would hope that by being more proactive in talking about it or even providing advanced prescriptions, that we could help decrease our very high unintended pregnancy risk. Highest unintended pregnancy rate of any developed world, any developed country in the world.
So this is the morning after pill that we're talking about, and that's the pill that women can take when they've had unprotected sex. Now, what do you think that parents are going to take from this updated policy by the American Academy of Pediatrics, that this is now saying, so if you had sex and the condom broke or you didn't use protection, or maybe you don't even have to worry about protection because there's that morning after pill and your pediatrician will give it right to you?
Well, no, that's an interesting point. I know this is always very scary because this means that somehow the pediatrician is going to be talking to the young teen about sex, and is this conversation with them going to promote sexual activity? And this is absolutely not what the policy is trying to do. The real issues are that many, many teenagers in the 15 to 18-year age bracket are having sex, unprotected sex, and this is something that we see about between 50 and 60% of seniors in high school have had sex. And so this is not new that they have. What's new is that we're going to try to provide an avenue to talk about this in a way that we can actually safely and comfortably provide teenagers access to contraception, emergency contraception. Will parents be made aware of this? If this conversation does occur, depending on the state where the teen resides, there are methods that protect the confidentiality of the conversation between a teenager and their pediatrician or other healthcare provider. It depends on different states. However, these are the conversations that should also include conversations about texting and driving, drinking and driving, sleep issues, other violence issues, cyberbullying. All of these things should be discussed in the pediatrician's office, including practicing either abstinence or, if these kids are sexually active, some form of contraception.
Okay, so the AAP would like doctors to give this to teens before they would possibly need it. So does that mean it's going to be something you sort of carry around in your purse as a teen, like you would carry a condom, that it's there or in your house? Uh-oh, Mom, I had sex last night. I need to take this thing today.
And well, excellent point also. Emergency contraception is not cheap. So the advanced prescription would be that piece of paper would be what the teen would be carrying around with them or have access to. Because it's about $80 to have emergency contraception to actually fill the prescription. So I personally don't think it would be something that a teenager has that kind of resources to pay for. But the prescription is one that they would need to have with them. And importantly, they can take emergency contraception up to 120 hours from their unprotected sex. So that gives them 5 days from having had it occur. Now, it's most effective within 24 hours, of course, of unprotected activity. But, and again, also remembering that emergency contraception does not equal sexually transmitted disease protection. So even though someone could take this, they still, if they have any kind of symptoms afterwards, need to be checked for an STD.
Now, let's explain what the morning after pill is a little bit, Dr. Bruner, because, you know, some people and controversially might think, oh, well, now they're just having sort of an abortion at this point.
Well, and that's another good question, and we have shown repeatedly that levonorgestrel, which is the emergency contraception plan B, new choice, our next step is not an abortifacient. In fact, what it does is it prevents ovulation, so it's just like the birth control pill. It also thickens the mucus at the cervix so that the sperm can't get into the fallopian tube where they would fertilize. So it is not considered an abortifacient.
And are there any side effects to taking it?
The only side effect that we have noticed with some kids, occasionally they have a little bit of feeling sick to their stomach, nausea around the time of it. And if the next time they have a period, it could be at one day longer than the one they had before. But that's it. It's very, very safe. It is not, the side effect profile is little or none.
And just to be clear, listeners, that this really is not an abortion that the kids are having. It just stops things from getting started. It messes with the hormones needed for early pregnancy by getting in the way of ovulation. That is what Dr. Bruner said, so you know that that's the truth. Now tell us as parents, Dr. Bruner, how do we talk to our children about this? Give parents something to say.
Well, this is a conversation that is always very much of a struggle, and I lectured to schools and high schools, middle schools, all over the Northwest. It's really tough to talk to kids about this for some reason. It's easy for them to watch it on TV or hear lyrics about it, but for some reason it becomes very difficult to talk about. So I think that one of the things that needs to happen is, and it should never be done at a time of stress or when people are mad, but it should be at a time when parents and kids are at a time they're comfortable. And believe me, I think kids are way more comfortable talking about it than parents. So it could be a conversation that could start something like when you're with, you know, Johnny or Sally or Bobby or whatever, and you say, you know, I just heard this thing on the radio today about emergency contraception and sexual activity, and help me understand what's going on in your life right now. Do you know anyone else in your peer group that is sexually active? It's always a good way to segue is to talk about someone else. And are you thinking about it, or what would you do if someone asked you if you wanted to? And kids, amazingly, are very, very savvy about this. They've been watching TV and seeing it and played out in music videos and lyrics a long time. So they'll talk, possibly more than the parents are even comfortable with. But it's really fascinating when you start this very open-ended conversation, not judgmental. And many people have significant opinions about abstinence, which is great. I mean, those are the things that need to be discussed with kids ahead of time, proactively. And the kids should be allowed opportunity to ask questions. And if the parent is uncomfortable or doesn't want to talk about it anymore, they also should be able to say, time out, I don't want to talk about this anymore. I need to talk to your pediatrician, and you need to talk to them about it, or I need to talk to them about it, or we need to provide other avenues for you to have this conversation. But the more data is out there that shows that if kids and parents can talk about this, the less likely there is to be unintended pregnancies, which clearly shows that if parents and teenagers talk about this in other cultures, that's considered one of the reasons why the unintended pregnancy risk is so much lower in other countries in the world, because parents and kids talk.
Well, I think one of the most important things is communication with parents. In the last 20 seconds, Dr. Bruner, your best advice for this updated policy on emergency contraception.
My best advice would be, if you have questions about it, talk to your pediatrician. The policy statement is available online on the Academy of Pediatrics website, free, and it is very, very well referenced. It took us 2 years to rewrite it, and it's a consensus statement. Over 60,000 pediatricians. I'm very proud of this statement. It does support pediatricians.
Well, thank you very much. You're listening to Radio MD and Healthy Children. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.